The Adventures of Harry Nile. The telephone is a lovely invention. Ever since I had one installed, the business it's brought me has almost paid the monthly phone bill, which is why I can't afford to ignore it and just let it ring, even though there are times when I'm tempted to, like 8 o'clock in the morning. Harry Nile Detective Agency.
Oh, did I catch you a little early, Harry? Sorry. This is Marvin Asher.
Hello, Marvin. How's the ambulance chasing business?
I managed to catch one every now and then. Hey, I've got a job for you if you want it, and I think you will.
Long money and short hours?
Maybe, but it's a nice, safe sort of case.
I'll take it.
If you qualify.
If I qualify?
You like music?
Oh, about as well as the next guy. What's that guy?
Well, my client is a musician. Eddie Mayhew.
Any relation to Art Mayhew, the jazz piano man?
Very good, Harry. Yes, the son. You've heard of the old man, then. That's good. Because young Eddie Mayhew, the band leader, has retained me to search out the estate of the late Mr. Mayhew.
Inheritance deal?
Should be a big one.
And my fee just went up.
You find what the late Art Mayhew did with his dough, and you'll get your fee plus a nice bonus. Oh, and there's expense money waiting for you as soon as you can pick it up.
Say, sounds like a first-class operation.
All the way, Harry. It isn't every day that a top name in jazz dies intestate with only one heir apparent. And him a wealthy man himself, so come get the dough, Harry. And wear a clean shirt, take a shave, huh? I might introduce you to my client this very morning.
Phil Harper is starring as the hard luck private eye of the 1940s in another Harry Nile detective mystery. And now, the adventures of Harry Nile.
Feeling very prosperous, I hurry over to Marvin Asher's law office to pick up a check for $100 advance and get the fill-in on Eddie Mayhew. Young Eddie's done pretty well for himself, it seems. He's got a successful dance band that he's been playing for months in a big downtown hotel. He's married to the vocalist, Evelyn Dale, and he's definitely a rising star in the music business. It's just about 10 in the morning when I walk into the empty ballroom where an old guy is busily tuning one of the two white pianos that flank the bandstand. Down the carpeted stairs at ringside table, two guys and a girl are studying a bunch of musical arrangements that drape off the table and onto the floor. When I walk up, one of the men looks up at me.
You're the detective Marv sent over?
Yeah, that's right, Harry Nile.
I'm Eddie Mayhew. This is my wife, Evelyn. My arranger, Charlie Curtis. Well, listen, I'll go over these one more time before rehearsal, Charlie.
See you later, Charlie.
Have a seat.
Thanks.
Marv told you what I need.
He said your father was Art Mayhew, the jazz piano man.
That's right.
I got a bunch of his records. He was great. I didn't hear he died. I'm sorry.
I never knew the man, Mr. Nile.
Oh?
The old man left Eddie and his mother way back in the 20s, not long after Eddie was born.
And he never came back. Oh, he sent money from time to time. But stop around and see how we were doing? Forget it.
Now, I understand your dad died without leaving a will and that there should be a pretty big estate to settle. And you'd like your share of it.
My share? Wrong, Mr. Nile. There were no other living relatives. The way I see it, I ought to get it all.
You wouldn't happen to have a letter from your father promising you his estate, would you?
Listen, he didn't leave me a single thing of his, except his name. Not even his talent, I'm sorry to say.
We figure, with all the records he cut and the investments he had, the old man must have been worth close to $1 million.
And I never had any brothers or sisters. My mother is dead. He didn't have any living relatives, so whatever's left is mine.
Not necessarily.
What do you mean?
Well, maybe he remarried.
Couldn't have. He and my mother were never divorced. Just separated.
When did he die?
A couple of months ago.
July 3rd. I've got the clipping from the Chicago Tribune. In fact, it's right here in my purse.
A buddy of mine sent it to me just a week ago. Otherwise, we might not know about it yet.
Hmm. Died in Chicago.
Here it is.
Hmm. Sounds like he was buried in a potter's field, the way this is written. Are you sure he had all this money when he died?
He stashed it somewhere. And I'm paying you to find it.
Eddie Mayhew expected some action, so I lit off for a bank to cash the check and started in spending it right away. First, a long-distance call.
Hey, Mr. Nile?
Yeah?
Sorry to take so long, but I have the information you wanted. Mr. Arthur Mayhew was cremated as a ward of the county July 6th of this year. No claim. claim. No estate.
Who witnessed?
The Cook County coroner's deputy and two other men. A Mr. Ballinger and a Mr. Eckstein.
First names on those two?
Only initials. That's a C. Ballinger and a W. Eckstein.
Yeah. Well, okay, thanks for your trouble. I better get over to the hotel and see if these ring any bells with Eddie Mayhew. By the time I get over to the hotel ballroom, the piano tuner has moved to the other white piano, but Eddie and his wife are gone. Say, excuse me a minute.
You talking to me?
Yeah. I was here a couple of hours ago talking to the Mayhews. Did you see where they went?
Afraid not. Guess you didn't notice. I don't see.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
Hey, how can you tune pianos if you're blind?
Oh, there are hundreds of blind piano tuners. It's no handicap, really. All grands are basically the same, and all uprights are pretty much like all the other uprights. What was it you wanted with Eddie?
You know him?
Worked for him. I'm Willie Williamson. Call me Willie. I tune the band's pianos. Travel all over with the band.
Oh, uh-huh. Well, I just wanted to check out a couple of names with Eddie.
A couple of names?
A couple of Chicago people I thought he might know.
Well, lay them on me. Maybe I know who they are. I hung around Chicago a lot myself, you know.
Guy named Ballinger. Another guy named Eckstein.
Ballinger? Eckstein. No, guess not.
Hey, if you were in Chicago, would you have known Eddie's dad?
Art Mayhew? Hey, everybody knew Art Mayhew. Sure I knew him.
You knew he died?
Yeah, a couple months back. Here he died broke, too.
You believe it?
Oh, I suppose I do. These old jazz musicians, they weren't much for business.
Eddie thinks his dad left a fortune behind.
Sounds like he hired you to sniff it out.
Hey, you're pretty good. That's just what he did.
Be surprised what a blind fella can see, really. Well, I hate to see Eddie disappointed, but I'm afraid he's barking up the wrong tree.
You think so?
Yeah. Old Art was a sucker. Booze, dames, fast living. He could throw away a week's pay quicker than anyone on State Street. I expect he made a lot of money, all right. But keep it? Not old Art Mayhew. He was good for just one thing, son. This. I learned that from listening to his records.
Back at my place, I dug out an Art Mayhew trio record and put it on my Victrola. The runs were flashy and brilliant. Certainly his son's work didn't sound like the intricate embroidery of the father's style.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Nile? Well, he said you were looking for me this afternoon.
Yeah, I talked with the Cook County Records people in Chicago on the phone.
Oh?
They say your dad was a ward of the county when he died.
I don't care what they say. I'm paying you to prove he left money. A lot of money.
Well, there are two names I could check. Witnesses to his cremation. A couple of guys named Ballinger and Eckstein. You wouldn't know him by any chance.
No. But why don't you go back there and find him?
You want me to go back to Chicago? Hey, that costs an awful lot.
I want what's mine, Mr. Nile. How can I make you understand that?
I understand. I'm grabbing the next plane east, Mr. Mayhew.
Harry Nile will return in a minute. Now, back to the adventures of Harry Nile.
So I buy an airline ticket back to my old stamping ground, Chicago. I check with the Cook County Hall of Records, and they give me addresses on the two witnesses to Mayhew's cremation. Figure I'll start there and work back. Mr. Ballinger?
Yeah.
My name's Harry Nile.
Pleased to meet you. What's on your mind?
Art Mayhew.
Yeah, what about
him? Oh, I hear he died.
That's right.
You were a friend of his?
Yeah, that's right.
You witnessed his cremation.
Right again. Say, what are you, anyway?
I'm a private investigator working for Mr. Mayhew's son.
His son?
Eddie Mayhew.
Art didn't have no son.
How's that?
That is, I mean, I never heard about no son of his.
Well, he and his wife split up when the boy was just a kid.
Well, what does this kid want now?
He wants his father's estate.
Estate? It's a laugh. He died poor as a church mouse.
Eddie doesn't think so.
Yeah, well, where was this Eddie that he knew so much about Art Mayhew? Listen, you see this club? Art played here dozens of times. I hired Art when he was so sick he could barely stay on the piano stool. Still, he packed him in. But every cent he made went right out the window.
What for? Medicine?
The medicine, yeah. It was medicine to Art. Dope, Mr. Niles. Art Mayhew was a dope fiend.
Ballinger paints a pretty sordid story about Mayhew's last days. Too sick to play, wasted away to nothing. He finally dies in a rented room, and Ballinger finds him there 2 days later.
So, like I say, your client's all wet. Art Mayhew didn't have a penny to his name when he died.
There was another witness to the cremation, a fellow named Eckstein.
Wally Eckstein, yeah.
Know where I might find him?
Why do you need to find Eckstein?
Just part of my job, Mr. Ballinger.
In other words, you don't think I'm telling you the truth. You want to check me out?
I didn't say that.
Gumshoes are all alike. Wally Eckstein lives in a fancy apartment on Wacker Drive. I don't know the address.
Thanks. I'll find it. Wacker Drive isn't the address the Hall of Records gave for Eckstein, but that doesn't worry me. It takes me the better part of an hour, but I finally find there are three Ecksteins with Wacker Drive addresses. It's about 8:30 at night when I wind up in an elevator going up to the penthouse where my third and final Eckstein possibility hangs out. If this isn't the guy, I'm at a dead end.
Yes?
Mr. Eckstein. Wallace Eckstein?
Yes.
My name is Harry Nile, Mr. Eckstein, working for the son of a friend of yours, Art Mayhew. Could I come in?
Mayhew?
Or didn't you know Mr. Mayhew?
Yes. I know Mr. Mayhew. What's your interest in him?
Well, his son Eddie hired me to do a little checking on his father's estate, and since you were present at the cremation, I figured you must have known the old man well enough to give me some help.
Come in. Come this way.
Say, this is some layout.
Sit down.
Thanks.
Now, what exactly is it you'd like to know?
Well, I get two stories. Eddie's sure his old man had a lot of dough, but two people so far have told me otherwise. Old piano tuner, who used to know him, and Mr. Ballinger. They both say Mayhew was stony broke.
I see. Well, I'm not in a position to verify the shape of Mr. Mayhew was in at the time of his death.
But you knew him?
As a piano player, yes.
Not as a friend?
We were never close.
Is there anyone who could tell me what I want to know?
I wouldn't know about that, Mr. Nile.
I see. Well, I've taken too much of your time.
Sorry I couldn't have been more helpful. I'll show you out.
Yeah. Sure is a swell place you've got here. What line of work are you in, if you don't mind my asking?
Investments.
Oh. Well, they sure must pay off. Good night, Mr. Eckstein. Take much deduction to see there was something screwy about a guy like Eckstein having a down-and-out doper like Mayhew for a friend. So there had to be some other connection. Well, what could it be? And how could I find out? It was past dinner time, and I could think of 20 places I used to eat in this town, but I went back to Ballinger's Club instead. The more I thought about it, the more I felt Ballinger could tell me about Mayhew. The Black Cat Club is in the basement. The tiny office has a window on the alley. As I walked past the alley, I saw Ballinger through the window. He was talking to someone, talking very fast, waving his arms. Interesting. To a snoop like me, that was very interesting. So I went down the steps into the club. Man, the place was jumping with people. You couldn't see 20 feet through the smoke. The head waiter finally spots me and struggles over through the crowd.
Gonna be a while before I can get you a table.
That's all right. I came to see Mr. Ballinger.
No. Well, he's tied up right now with someone.
Well, tell him Harry Nile is out here.
Yeah, when I got time.
Oh, and here's a little something for your trouble.
Thanks? Oh, thanks. I'll be right back.
The $2 I slipped him changed his attitude, and he disappeared into the crowd in the smoke. About a minute, he was back.
Hey, I'm sorry, Mr. Nile. I was mistaken about Mr. Ballinger. He's gone home for the evening.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Find you a table now.
No, I don't think so. The smoke's kind of getting to me. I waited until the head waiter had moved out of sight, and then I edged through the crowd over to the door near the kitchen, marked private. This had to be the office where I'd seen Ballinger not 5 minutes before. I knock. And again. The lock wouldn't have foiled a five-year-old. I picked it, let myself in, before anyone noticed what I was doing. The office was dark now. I edged my hand along the wall by the door until I found a light switch. Ah, the place was empty. Then my eyes caught an old filing cabinet, and I couldn't resist it. The crazy idea forming in my mind drove my fingers to flip through the dog-eared manila file folder until I spotted what I hoped would be there. Some old records of the Black Cat Club. And then it all began to come together. And I knew what had happened. I knew what Eckstein was all about, and Ballinger. And I could guess the rest. But as it happened, I didn't have to.
Put up your hands.
Okay.
Don't move. Don't you even think of moving.
Farthest thing from my mind, Mr. Ballinger.
I ought to finish you off. Prowling my files. Give me that folder.
You take it.
What do you want with this?
Information. And I got it.
What do you think you got?
So this joint was owned by Art Mayhew.
What of it?
And he sold it. To you.
So?
For $1.
It's legal.
No wonder poor old Art was broke when he died. Somebody you were. With friends like you, he didn't need enemies.
That wasn't it at all. I did everything I could for Art Mayhew. I loved the guy.
So much you stole his nightclub for a buck, yeah.
Look, think whatever you want. Look, Nile, I know you're just doing your job. Now you found out what you came for. Why don't you leave? Go back to L.A. and tell his kid that Art didn't leave him nothing when he died. Why don't you?
Because that'd be a lie, wouldn't it?
No.
You really must have loved old Art. You're still protecting him, aren't you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You took the Black Cat off his hands. Why? So he could die in peace?
That's right.
Or so he could live in peace? I saw you through the window 10 minutes ago, Ballinger. I saw who you had in here with you. Now I know why the two of you were so agitated. You were afraid I'd spill the beans, spoil everything, right? The truth is, Art Mayhew is alive. His death and cremation were staged for Eckstein's benefit, right?
Nile, you're going to ruin everything.
Where is he, Ballinger? Where is Art Mayhew?
I'm right here, Mr. Nile, hiding out in my own office.
Art, come in. Close that alley door.
Willie Williamson. The blind piano tuner. You know, for a blind guy, you really get around.
I just made up the blind bit, man. I had to fly back here and keep you from messing the whole thing up. Ballinger says you seen Eckstein.
I did. But he thinks you're safely dead, Willie. Or maybe I ought to call you Art.
Eckstein's the reason I had to cut out, man.
Why?
Well, Eckstein's in the racket, see. One night about 3 a.m., I'm leaving the club and I see Eckstein shoot a guy in the parking lot. Gangland murder thing, you know. I freeze. Eckstein sees me, recognizes me. He'd been in the club half the night.
So you've got to pretend to be dead, or else you really will be dead.
Sure, that's it. And my pal, Ballinger here, he agrees to take the club off my hands, and he sends me dough, way out to California.
Well, you're pretending to be Willie Williamson, working for your own son.
Yeah, but you got to swear never to tell the kid who I am.
Why, he's got a right to know his old man's alive.
Oh, he hates me. You heard the way he talks. He grew up hating me. And I don't blame him. But I want to be close to him all the same. And I want to help him all I can.
Yeah, I get it.
But I don't get it. Nile, you knew Willie was really Art. How'd you know? He's changed the way he looked.
I knew Art Mayhew was alive because the date on this bill of sale for the club is July 10th. That's 4 days after he was supposed to have been cremated.
Holy smoke, I'll have to have that changed. Art, I'll do that first thing in the morning.
I'm curious, Art. Who took your place in the crematorium?
We never knew who he was. An old drunk got hit by a train in the rail yards. Ballinger got his papers switched so it looked like it was me. You done a lot for me, Charlie.
Yeah, Ballinger helped Art Mayhew to die. So Willie Williamson, the piano tuner, could live. We flew back to L.A. on the same plane, Art Mayhew and me. Told me a lot of great stories about the guys he'd known in jazz. Jelly Roll Morton, Leadbelly, Earl Hines. Then the plane landed at the Lockheed Air Terminal in Burbank, and I helped an old man down the boarding stairs. An old man with dark glasses and a white cane. Flagged him a taxi, and I helped him get inside. Gave the driver an address of the hotel. And watched the cab disappear into the smoke of an L.A. night. And suddenly I was very tired. Too tired to call Eddie Mayhew and tell him his old man had died without leaving him a single thing. I knew the kid would be disappointed. But I couldn't tell him that the old piano tuner of his was the greatest jazz pianist in the world.